Clay Travis, Outkick, at Clay Travis on Twitter, is with us on the Pepsi Hotline. I'm curious, Clay, did you watch much of Peyton and Eli last night on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, I watched most of it.
Yeah,
I thought it was fantastic. I didn't watch the traditional broadcast at all.
Yeah, we all did too, and we were talking about this before the show. Peyton and Eli don't grow on trees. I mean, it's hard to find former players that can be that entertaining. But in the event you catch it, to me, this is the way the industry is going. This is what I'm more interested in.
Yeah, I agree. I think also if you're our age and you've watched as many games as we have, I mean, I oftentimes have games muted, right? Because I'm watching like four or five different games at once, and I can tell, you know, just by looking, I can see what's going on in the game. I don't really need somebody to be informing me of what's going on in the game. So I'm more interested in a conversation than I am a traditional game broadcast, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, you basically are wedding an audio conversation that you would enjoy hearing with a video broadcast that you can also check out. And I don't know the quality of the guests that they will be able to have over the entire 10-game season, but I thought, for instance, Russell Wilson was far more interesting in the discussion with Peyton and Eli Manning than I ever have seen him be with any other media. I think that's because there's a level of respect that Russell Wilson and other guys have for Peyton and Eli that they may not have for traditional media. And also there's probably relationships there that make the conversations more comfortable than they would be if it's a totally blind interview, which oftentimes ends up happening in radio or TV. And so, I'm sure Tom Brady will come on at some point and hang out with Peyton and Eli, and I would think that would be incredible, must-see, riveting television, right? I just thought it was fantastically well done. I agree. I don't think there's that many Peyton and Eli's, but I do think, you know, years ago, and I don't know if they still do it, they had a bunch of different broadcast options that you could choose. And I've been arguing for this for years for English Premier League soccer. You could watch a diehard fan broadcast. They've done a little bit of this, I think, with the NCAA tournament, where you can hear the fan cast from the perspective of a big fan of a particular team. I think experimenting on the way that you distribute Gamecast is something that can make a lot of sense from a gambling perspective. I think you could have a diehard, you know, gambling version of a show like that. I think you can have a celebrity version, which is what I would put the Peyton and Eli Manning conversation in the middle of. I think you can have the traditional, you know, for lack of a better way of saying it, Voice of God broadcast, where you've got the guys in the booth. I think the big losers here are whoever's calling the Monday Night Football broadcast for ESPN, because I think all the buzz for the entire season is going to be about Peyton and Eli.
Yeah, look, and I think Steve Levy and Brian Griese and Lewis Ariddick are good, but I would much rather watch the Manning brothers. I thought it was great last night, too. But there are two times I won't watch this year, and that's when the Rams play on Monday Night Football. I don't know about you as a Titans fan, but when it's like a serious 3 hours that I want to spend watching my team, I would rather not watch the Mannings, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of truth to that. I mean, I think most people watch Monday Night Football casually, unless it's your own team. You know, I'm a Titans fan. I went and watched us get our ass kicked by Arizona on Sunday. It's a good football weekend for me. I agree with you there. I think if I really significantly cared about the outcome of a game, I might want to be locked in. But, you know, I'm also the kind of person who, when I'm watching a game that I'm significantly focused on, it's very often the case that I've got it on mute, right? Like, I don't even listen to what the announcers are saying, because for the most part, I can, I can tell what's going on in the game myself without needing to hear what the announcers say.
Are you off to Gainesville this week on your little tailgate tour?
Do you think
that this is going to be old school swamp atmosphere for 2:30? Because it is a sellout, a hard sellout. Do you think this will take us back in the day when the swamp used to rock?
Well, I mean, I think it'll be a great environment. I think what I have seen is the environments are pretty fantastic everywhere, because a lot of these, first of all, college kids are having to make up for a year where they didn't have a traditional home environment. So the tailgates are rocking more than they usually would be. Tickets, it seems to me, are oftentimes more expensive than they have been in the past because I think people saved money on tickets last year, and they're sort of desperate to have an experience this year of what that environment is going to be like. So, yeah, I think I don't think that Florida has the horses to keep up with Alabama. You know, I think they're not as good as they were last year. But I do think it will be interesting to see, you know, what exactly we find. I mean, it'll be, as is usually the case, I don't know if you guys have paid attention to the weather yet. I know LT's a big gambler. He might have, but, the early forecast I've seen suggests there may be some rain. You know, I get in on Thursday down in Florida, and then we'll fly back, on Saturday, evening. So, you know, it's been fun. I mean, I was in, Arkansas and Fayetteville for the Texas game. Week before that, we were in Knoxville, and we were also in Charlotte. You know, it's pretty awesome to be on the road. This bus, at some point, will be in Bama for the Ole Miss game in a couple of weeks. So you guys will have to check it out.
At Clay Travis on Twitter, Outkick.com. He is on the Pepsi hotline. You work for Fox, and you're part of that show we were just talking about. I don't know how well you know Bob Stoops. I don't know how much scuttlebutt you get about Bob Stoops, but his name is already being mentioned with Southern Cal. Do you get the impression 61-year-old Bob Stoops still has it in his blood to go coach a powerhouse or a potential powerhouse like Southern Cal?
I don't know Bob Stoops that well. You know, yes, I'm on Big Noon Kickoff with, so I know – Brady Liner really well and Rob Stone really well. I know Reggie a little bit, and I've only met Bob Stoops, I think, maybe once ever before. So I don't know. I don't have any read. I mean, obviously, being on in that show in the L.A. market is a big draw. I mean, that was the talk about Urban to SC. I think that was a big part of it. You know, you're already in SC. The Pac-12 is on oftentimes that Fox broadcast, so you get to advertise yourself to the fan bases out there. And so I think there'll be some decent level interest in this SC job. And the five names, and I'm going to try to – I tweeted it out, so I may miss one because I'm trying to do it off the top of my head now. But the five names that made the most sense to me were Urban Meyer, because I could see him on some level pulling a Petrino and just walking out and you know, doing the fight on chant in the middle of the season and saying, screw the NFL. I could be wrong on that, but that seems very Urban to me in many ways. I could see James Franklin. I know they've come after him aggressively before. I could see that happening. I could see Luke Fickell. I could see, you know, I wonder now whether Matt Campbell feels like he's reached the apex of where he can go at Iowa State. He looked pretty frustrated on the sideline during that that game against Iowa. And personally, I would try to get Mario Cristobal on the line because he's recruiting like crazy well at Oregon, obviously has things rolling there. I'm not sure he would leave, but anytime you can steal away a top competitor from your own conference, that obviously helps to elevate you. And I don't think you can underrate, by the way, this decision being made with what Chip Kelly's doing in UCLA. If UCLA was 0-2, I'm not sure they fire Clay Helton right now. I know there's been a lot of discomfort, but I think it's partly this idea of the two ships passing in the night, so to speak, in the L.A. football market. And I also think that it's now a much more competitive market. And I think, you know, you think about the Rams and the Chargers there, in addition to UCLA, as big of a city as L.A. is, you got to cut through the noise. And they like the sizzle. They like the excitement. They like the glamour of the Hollywood set, and right now none of that exists with SC football.
Hey, we haven't seen it in the SEC since 2009. Florida and Alabama go wire to wire 1 and 2 and play in the SEC championship game. Do you think we see it again this year? Alabama, Georgia, 1 and 2 the entire year.
It feels like it, doesn't it?
It does.
And I think right now there's a pretty big gap between Alabama and Georgia and everybody else. Maybe Clemson is actually, you know, the closest to three. We'll see about Oklahoma. I still have questions about their defense based on what we saw against Tulane. We're obviously early in the year, whether Ohio State, for instance, can make a run. But I do feel like if I were betting right now, even though, I mean, you tell me, LT, it's not a good bet, right? You'd have to get some plus money just because crazy things can happen in college football for both of those teams to go 12-0. But right now I would, if I were forecasting, I think there's a good chance both those teams are 12-0. You know, I'd have to get some plus money on that bet, but, at 12-0, then we know that Alabama and Georgia are both college football playoff teams. 'Cause I don't think it would matter what happens in the SEC title game at that point. given what they would have done in the out-of-conference as well as the conference.
Okay, a couple of weekends of tailgating now for Fox, but you're also a multimillionaire. Have you had any good food at any of these tailgates, or is it beneath you to eat off a grill?
No, we went to Wright's Barbecue in Fayetteville, which was fantastic. What we're doing is going to, like, the best college bars, and, I mean, we're doing a documentary, remember, behind the scenes, in addition to the Big Noon kickoff show. We are doing a show about, like, why SEC football matters for Fox Nation. So we have, like, three different camera crews working every week, which is a big undertaking. And so I'll get in, and, you know, let's say Friday in Gainesville, I'll spend all day going around to the different great college bars. We'll find a good place to go out for dinner that places want to host us. And, you know, that's part of the part and parcel of telling the story of SEC football. As you guys know, the game itself is often a very small part of a weekend in the South. And so we're trying to capture, like I did, honestly, 15 years ago in Dixieland Delight, first book that I wrote, what makes college football so popular and powerful in the South.
All right, he is Clay Travis. Go follow him on Twitter at Clay Travis, Outkick.com as well. Clay, enjoy Gainesville, man. Thank you for the time.
Hey, appreciate y'all having me. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. See you, Clay, with us on the Pepsi Hotline.